Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to this very special edition of Factions of Freedom. This is an emergency transmission, actually an update from the previous time that we've had Christy Scarborough on to talk to us about what's going on with her lawsuits against Facebook. Now, for people who don't know, and I'll put this link in the description bar below, the last time she was on, she basically debuted the fact that she's slapping Facebook with a lawsuit, and she and I think her lawyer are joining her attorney are joining us today to give us a little bit of an update. So with that being said, Christy, are you with us?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no, and, really, the pleasure is mine.
Hello, Wisconsin. This is,
you did bring your attorney.
Yes, I'm here. My name is Initial T. Period Matthew Phillips, and I'm very happy to be here today.
All right. Thank you, guys. Really, for people that don't know, and this is just some lead up to what we're talking about, I meant to have Christy on basically last week whenever she first brought this to us, but so many things have been happening on the back end that I wanted to make sure that she got the proper time and the proper spotlight that she deserved. So thank you, Christy, and thank you, T. Matthews, for coming on. So basically, the floor is yours. What's happened? I can't believe it's been we did the episode back in July. I can't believe so much has happened since then. Go ahead and give us an update.
Well, yeah. So my name is Christy Scarborough, and some people may know me as my social media page for a vaccine. So we did, or I did file a lawsuit on, it was July 13th, and it basically alleges that Facebook violates my state constitutional right to freely speak, write, and publish my sentiments on all subjects. So since then, there's been a few good updates on this lawsuit here. And one of them is that, well, I don't know. Team Matt, where should we start?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I'm still trying to get my computer to boot up here. It seems like the network cartel may have a bias against me. And for the listeners out there in radio land, when I refer to the network cartel, of course, I refer to Facebook, Google, YouTube, and Twitter collectively.
Right. I like that name. The internet.
Funny
cartel.
Enough, I call them the digital mafia.
Nice.
That works too. Yep.
But no, I think if I could just interject for a moment again, this is the name is T. Matthew Phillips, and I am Christy's lawyer, and the lawsuit was filed July 13th, and I'm still trying to get access to the internet as we speak. But basically, our lawsuit alleges two different ways that Facebook violates the rights of the plaintiff, in this instance, Ms. Scarborough. We contend that that Facebook's policies and practices are unlawful for two principal reasons. There are two things basically they do to you that we think are wrong. Number one, they censor content. And when I say censor, I mean that they remove content or they delete content or they may, you know, banhammer a page, meaning take down a page like they did to the Sikhs. There was a famous case with the Sikhs, had a page taken down, but excuse me, I'm losing my voice here already. Long story short, it's number one that they censor and delete and remove content. But then number two, the second wrongdoing is the Facebook jail. And we think that's just totally outrageous because it certainly smacks of like what do they call the re-education camps out in communist China where the person has to take a time out and stare at the wall for 30 days and reflect upon your wrongdoings and atone or repent for your sins. But what's so crazy about Facebook is when you read the community standards, it's hard to really know what you did wrong or why. And when Facebook, you know, takes down a comment or removes a post or deletes a meme, all they say is that you violated community standards, like all of them, plural. And like, well, which one did I do wrong? How do I know how to repent for my wrongdoings? It's really frustrating. In many ways, it's like, imagine you get pulled over by 5-0, and the law enforcement officer says, you know, sir, may I have your license and registration? And you're all like, officer, what did I do wrong? Well, sir, you violated the motor vehicle code. Oh, really? Did I do, what, left turn in traffic, or, you know, my taillight is faulty, or I was speeding? What did I do wrong? Facebook never tells you what you did wrong. You just violated their agenda, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to monopolize the conversation here, but those
you're
are
fine.
Basically
no, you're,
our claims. They do two wrongdoings. They censor content, which arguably they can do, but the idea of Facebook jail and suspending the user from being able to use, there's no legal basis to do that. It's just bad faith, and that essentially is our claims.
Right. The punishment is awful. Within 30 days, I think, out of this past year, I think I've only been able to be active on my Facebook page maybe 5 months out of the entire year, because I get 30-day ban hammers almost every other week that I get back on. It's absolutely ridiculous. And T-Matt always said that, you know, Facebook is like the proverbial town square. This is where everybody is. This is where everybody's going. That's where everybody's speaking their minds. And that is the purpose of Facebook, if not to speak your mind, share your pictures of your dinner and your kitties and everything in between. What is the purpose of it? But I feel like it is a town square. Everybody should be allowed to be there. So I missed, I think it was last Christmas, I didn't have access on my Facebook. So they really are keeping people from families, in essence.
Good point, yes. Yeah, good point.
I just want to say this real quick, and then I'll let you have it, T. Matthews. You know, what I really think we're beginning to see these days, and this might kind of sound strange, you know, you were referring to it as the internet cartel, the digital mafia, but this is the corporatocracy. This is that corporatocracy where corporations are beginning to rule things. You know, at what point did we allow Facebook and things like Google, Twitter, and Instagram and these other platforms, these other businesses, at what point did we allow for them to become the arbiters of free speech? Who gave them necessarily the power to define what is right and what is wrong? And I think that's something that, you know, as we take a step back looking at all this, we really need to ask ourselves, do these corporations have more influence on our rights than their actual rights themselves?
Absolutely. I think so.
Well, right. I'm totally feeling you. It's scary. And you know what? This is kind of a maybe off topic, but I saw a thing. Rush Limbaugh was doing a show. I'm not a big Rush Limbaugh fan, but long story short, he had a really good show topic. It was he was suggesting that antitrust laws should be applied to the internet cartel, Facebook, Google, YouTube, and Twitter. And it kind of makes sense because historically, when corporations get too big, whether it's Standard Oil, you know, when they were the only people selling oil, or Bell Telephone, where they're the only people making telephones, they eventually broke them up, and they would have, you know, the one corporation became like 50 smaller corporations, one for every state, and they're supposed to compete and those kind of things that cherished American values. But for some reason, nowadays, the government doesn't seem to mind if corporations get too big. It's like back in the days, the government, you know, Uncle Sam got concerned if a corporation tried to make a come up and get too, you know, bigger than the government. But nowadays, the government doesn't seem to mind, because when you stop to think about it, the government interests and the corporate interest are totally aligned. It's the same train running on the same tracks, you know. And so because their interests are aligned, they're just happy to do it. And so it's like Facebook is really, you know, it's not FB book, it's FBI book. It's the government watching us as much as ever, and the CIA and everybody else, and the Department of Defense, and they all seem to be happy to do it. And anyways, I didn't mean to go off topic about our lawsuit, but
they definitely
that's perfectly fine.
sure. But I think it's that media does not approve of free speech because it's uncontrolled speech. They might want to look like they're transparent, like they do support free speech, but really nobody's even touching, aside from you guys here, nobody's even talking about this lawsuit. They hate it. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't want people to know about it. It scares them.
True.
And that,
that,
the fact
is...
that they don't have a system to deal with these types of these actual problems. Like their response to people who have genuine issues with their system is to either block, ban, delete, or just very, I don't know, very very problematic responses. It creates more problems than it actually solves. And so what you're doing actually exposes the fact that this system is flawed. And so they have to rapidly figure out a way to try to not necessarily combat it, but to deal with this. Now, people are getting censored all over the place. You know, look at what happened last week, you know, with Senate on the Hill, Alex Jones and all that stuff right there. You know, what's going on with censorship is a broad-ranging thing.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize. That was rude. I apologize. I didn't mean to interject like that. I just had to say, and I'll let you carry on. I think the whole thing with Alex Jones, it's a setup, okay? Alex Jones is in on it. He's not the victim. He's one of the actors in the game, is what I'm trying to say. So anyways, I'm sorry. Go ahead. But go ahead.
Retire, right? Don't you think he's getting ready to leave? He's ready to, you know.
The real sentiment is this, that Alex Jones, look, as I've been involved in lawsuits, like, for example, you know, we had the first class action lawsuit ever against Monsanto. The lawsuit had him nailed dead to rights, and everyone hated it for that reason, like on Facebook, because they're all working for Monsanto. I tried to tell the story on Alex Jones. He wouldn't tell it, and you would think that Alex Jones would want to tell the story, but they would never do it. Then last year I was suing the state of California to stop the vaccine mandate. They want to force the vaccines down the throats of these school children. And, you know, I tried to do the Alex Jones show thinking he's against vaccines, but no, he's not. He's controlled by the CIA like everyone else who's out there. And I'm not trying to sound like a wild-eyed conspiracy theorist. He is totally controlled, but he's older now. He wants to retire, but you can't just have someone that passionate retire, okay? It has to be, they have to go out with a bang, and he has to be like the sacrificial lamb of the conservative movement, you know? And I mean, why isn't he suing? Clearly, he's a wealthy man. He can afford a lawyer. You know, a stay-at-home mom like Scarborough can afford a lawyer. The law is clear. You know, they can remove certain content. YouTube can come down or Twitter can come down on Alex Jones and take down his content, but they have to act in good faith. If Alex Jones can hear my voice, go hire a lawyer and go allege that Twitter failed to exercise good faith when they depublished your page.
Do it. Oh my gosh, I wonder if he actually would.
Well, you're more than welcome to come over here and talk about your lawsuits against Monsanto and SB 277, T. Matthews, because that's very important stuff. People really need to understand not only what's in the vaccines, but I mean, look at the lawsuit with Dwayne Johnson just the other week or just the other month. The $289 million payout to Dwayne Johnson, the groundskeeper that got unfortunately developed cancer due to working with their Roundup, their glyphosate. So all these things are important. And as far as Alex Jones, you know, right now I think a lot of people can kind of see that he's imploding. You know, and what's going on with InfoWars is we're seeing, to be honest, you know, if you want my personal opinion, I really feel like we're seeing the propaganda arm infiltrate, like you said, the conservative movement, the truth movement, and all these other things. He's controlled. He's controlled opposition, no doubt.
He's totally
I think everybody
controlled,
can
exactly.
See that. Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to add that, you know, what's funny, it's the whole thing is a psyop, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to teach people. They say, hey, they're telling them Twitter can do whatever they want, whenever they want. They can step on Alex Jones' throat and they can silence him. And despite the fact that he's a tough talker, there ain't nothing he can do. He can't hire a lawyer. He can't go to court. He has been silenced. And it sends a message. Gosh, if they can shut down Alex Jones, I guess they can take me down too. Okay. You know, he's a powerful guy. They're just trying to brainwash everybody. It's one gigantic psyop. You know?
And that's why I'm so proud about, or so happy about what you guys are doing, because this, what Alex Jones is doing is all for the camera. It's all political theater. What you guys are doing, this is for the common man. This is for people like myself. This is for people like Chrissy Scarborough. This is for everybody else that's like really paying attention to what we're doing. We're not disenfranchised from our power. We literally just have to focus, you know. And that, again, that's another thing that I think is great about what you're doing, Christy, is you're taking all of this chatter you see that's going on, all this chatter going on, oh, censorship, well, what are we going to do? And you're like, well, I have an idea. How about I actually sue these guys, crazy thought, and see what they do? Because I want to keep working here. I want to keep doing this, and they want to stop me. So let's see what happens. And no one's ever had that simple thought. So, again, kudos to you for breaking through the conditioning and getting it.
Yay!
This lawsuit alone is really like the first of its kind. And I really think that this lawsuit alone will set precedent. I have faith that things will work out. I mean, you can never really know for sure how things are going to work out in the end. But I have faith in this lawsuit. We are doing everything we can. And Facebook, I really get the feeling that Facebook is very intimidated. Since the day after we filed, Facebook has been targeting us, and we've been experiencing some retaliation on Facebook's part. And I definitely want
give
to
us an example.
Give
us an example.
So, for instance, my personal page, Chrissy Scarborough, got a ban hammer for 30 days. I tried to appeal it all, and nothing really worked. I think I still have like 14 days left. So naturally, when you get a page that's down or your personal page, you're like, okay, well, I have a lot to say. I got to get back on Facebook. You know, I got to let people know what's going on. You make another Facebook account. Well, this Facebook system, I don't know what they're doing. We can't even create a new I can't make another profile for myself. I think what they're doing is, monitoring maybe the IP addresses. I don't know, because if I make it, I could make it, and it could say Chrissy Scarborough. Within 2 hours, it'll say, we want to make sure that your profile is protected and safe. Please upload a photo of yourself. So I'll upload a photo of myself. And it comes back and says it was declined, and that new page that I just made is gone. And you can't make another one with that email. You can't make another one with that phone number. And they really do not want me to have an outlet on Facebook whatsoever. They are doing everything that they can to keep me quiet. And I know that I'm not the only one this has happened to. I know T. Matthew, he got the ban hammer the day after the lawsuit filed. We added a few people. We added three awesome people on the lawsuit, and they are all way too familiar with Facebook jail. I know that the same thing has been happening to them. If they get silenced on one page and get punished, and sit in Facebook jail to contemplate what they did wrong, which is usually you don't know what to contemplate. They try to make another one, and it won't. It'll shut them down within a day. It's really interesting, and it shows there's no good faith done by Facebook. I don't mean to keep talking here, but when Facebook asks for a picture of myself, and I give them a picture of myself, how exactly are they going to turn that down? I mean, that to me shows a serious lack of bad faith, or a serious lack of good faith, I mean. Because you don't know what I look like. What are you cross-referencing this to? And they're not even consistent throughout the board. Some people will make a page and they never have this issue. But again, it's like Facebook is like a test. It's like they are doing whatever the hell they want in an inconsistent manner.
That's so,
you know, that makes sense.
Totally.
It does. I'll say this real quick, and I'll pass it right to you. You know, they're doing the same thing over there on Instagram with the verification. They call it just that, the verification. If you want that little blue check mark, you have to send them a picture of your ID. There's a few other apps over there in the Play Store that also do the same thing. This is their attempt at trying to, as they say, flush out fake news, misinformation, and all this other stuff. But at the same time, I think it's a two-edged sword. This this information absorbing beast of a monster called Facebook, Facelog, Facebot, Fedbook, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's requiring more of your information to say, well, you know, you might be putting your personal views and your personal opinions and your personal pictures up there, but we need even more information. Like, I think that's just what's crazy, is this beast that has no end still requires more of us to verify that we're us. But please, continue, T. Matthews.
Oh, I was just going to add, you know, if I were in, you know, in court, I mean, I fantasize about the argument. I would say, Your Honor, respectfully, you know, we're in litigation with Facebook Inc., and the client's page, Ms. Scarborough's page, is in suspension mode. She can't use it. And the attorney's page is in suspension mode. We can't. We're both in Facebook jail right now. I mean, and we don't know why we're in jail. We don't know what we did wrong. We don't know how to avoid this in the future. I mean, we know nothing. It's just, for all we know, it's random. And when, like Christy had said, this is the second time I got a Facebook jail sentence during the pendency of the litigation. The day after Facebook was served with the lawsuit, my account was suspended. I was given no reason. They never identified the offending post. They just said, it looks like something you posted violated, plural, community standards. Looks like, well, something. Well, what? No idea. What community standard? No idea. When I complained to the Facebook lawyers, I said, this is awfully unfair. Well, they flicked the switch and they restored service. And I got a written apology from Facebook saying they'd made an error. Okay, well, how do I know they're not making an error now? I mean, it really is random. And, you know, I got to say, I hear all these people. This is, I'm just thinking about it. There's this guy named Austin Powers Bennett is what people call him. But he's running for office. He tried to get, he's the write-in candidate for the 6th District Senate seat. They got an R and a D and a write-in candidate. And all three of them are controlled by pharma, right? But what's funny is you see this guy. This is the reason I'm mentioning him. He is, like, notorious for always saying, oh, the man's out to get me, and the deep state is trying to censor me, and I'm having trouble putting this video on YouTube. It's like, no, you're putting the video on YouTube. I'm watching it. I'm watching you. The point is, it's so in vogue to complain about, you know, the man coming down on you for censorship, because it implies that you're more of a, you know, a top-flight activist. Like, you're so bad that, you know, the government's got to come after you and stand on your throat and stuff like that. But the point is, I do believe it really is going on with us, because there's no explaining why Facebook is doing what they're doing. And the reason they're doing it is because they're trying to demonetize our efforts to try to fund the lawsuit. They don't want the message to get out there. They don't want anybody to know that it's possible to do what we're doing. Because would you believe it that there's going to be a stay-at-home mom who hires a, you know, degenerate alcoholic lawyer who's living out in Vegas, who, you know, has no partners and no law firm, a sole practitioner, one guy alone, okay? Can they take on Facebook? You want to hear, it's funny, someone talking about, is Facebook intimidated by the litigation? I say yes, and I can prove it. You know how I can prove it? Because they hired not one, but two top 10 law firms. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
I mean, they hire big law firms. There's one up in San Francisco, and I mean, at these law firms, they're really fine lawyers, and they have a second law firm down in Newport Beach. I've never seen that before. It's kind of extreme, but the point is, they are concerned about the lawsuit, because our lawsuit certainly has merit, and I believe we will most certainly prevail, because they cannot demonstrate good faith. And at the end of the day, I know there's a lot of banter back and forth, but if I can just stick to the law, it comes down to this. Internet service providers can remove content. They can restrict access, provided, however, they act in good faith. Now, what does good faith mean? Well, frankly, I don't know. There's a lot of good faith definitions under California state law that we will argue in court. But most of all, it's our position that they cannot claim good faith because they don't communicate. If they don't communicate, there can never be any good faith, like, in the first place. If you get a page taken down or a comment taken down, they never tell you why. It's just a robot sending you a template. That doesn't count as communication.
Yep.
Now, the Facebook lawyers, and again, they're fine lawyers, but they're going to argue that, sure, we act in good faith. We had a robot address your concerns. But when you try to ask a question, there's no response that ever is tailored to the question. The robot just tells you, go reread the community standards one more time. You must have missed something. You know, and I think also, you know, Facebook is a little bit disingenuous because one has to believe that the community standards are broadly drawn. So if they want to defend their conduct and try to justify removing a comment or a post or a meme, they can probably find something that would, you know, justify the wrongdoing that they did. So
there's a number of things that you touched on, T. Matthews, that I kind of want to jump on real quick if I can. You know, the power of one, the idea of being able to bypass their AI, the algorithms that we're up against, and so many other things. But to put it simply, you know, all of these things are important. What the two of you are doing to our audience and for, you know, for the future, what people need to understand is what they're doing is pulling together their resources, coming after this big tech giant and saying, you know what, we're going to fight you. We're going to go back and take what we want. We want our freedom of speech. We want to be able to say what this is a marketplace of ideas. This is the public square, and you are unjustly targeting us. And for people who don't know what that feels like, and it's kind of wild. To put it simply, you know, I've had 4 years of content deleted right around the time whenever we started talking about David Hogg and the Las Vegas shootings and everything else that went on with that. Now, I think the reason why we had the content deleted was because it was a part of an algorithmic assault. And this is something that we're touching on.
Sure.
It's AI. Yeah, it's the AI that they're deploying on us. It's the words, the keywords, or however they have their algorithms and formulas set up, that's what we're actually going up against. And so another way for people to bypass that, and this is just stuff that we've had to learn in the past, is you have to share it. You have to create, like, your own stuff. You have to get the word out, create a group, you know, create a page, create create a show, create, like, a video. There's so many different ways to bypass the very simple AI of them being able to attack the primary producer. And that's why, you know, as listeners, as a role, kind of have, like, not a duty, but they have the ability to help amplify the message. And that's why it's important that people get this stuff out. So I'll say this, and then I'll hand it over to you, Christy. The reason, again, that this is important is because, like T. Matthews said, they went and hired two big law firms to deal with just this case alone. Just let that sink in. Two separate law firms for one case to say, all right, so how are we going to deal with this? They're really trying to dot their I's and cross their T's to make sure that they don't mess this up, because this sets a precedent, and this is important. So please, Christy, go ahead.
True.
Yes, yeah, I agree with everything that you said. And I have to pat myself on the back a little bit. I mean, this is pretty amazing. To me, when I first found out that they had two law firms to take on, I was like, damn. So anyways, but Matt, I was going to ask you.
I have to say, if just interrupt briefly, that Christy was, you know, I'm really amazed at what a brilliant woman she is, and I don't think I've ever even recognized it in the course of our conversations. Again, without waiving the privilege, but just to the audience, I did want to say that, you know, that Christy is such a brilliant woman, and she's, you know, over the course of, you know, the last months, come to me with some of these free speech issues. And again, without waiving any attorney-client privileges, it's really kind of motivated me to take a deeper look. And we realize that something has to be done, because if we don't have free speech, then we can't tell the world about how bad vaccines are or about chemtrails and GMOs. And so, anyways,
well,
I'm sorry.
I was literally just about
Thank
to jump
you.
There. You're the whole main reason, as you're the whole reason, like, you're on social media to one degree, from my perspective, is to talk about that, the vaccines, is to expose them, to talk about, like, how many harmful things are in there, how many different studies are coming out, you know, the autism rates that are coming with vaccines. And so they're saying, like, it's a twofold thing. They don't understand the kind of hornet's nest they're kicking, because you're just trying to talk about this one corrupt part of this system that we're in, and the system's just reacting instinctually, and just, it doesn't see how it's exposing itself. It's crazy. it's silly, it's crazy, but it's also monumental because it's representative of just that, the power of speech, the freedom of speech, and being able to do these types of things, to say these types of things, and to get this kind of information out.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm the type of mama that when you push me, I'm pushing back. And this is exactly what this is about. I mean, and I really, I take a lot of pride in this because I have this amazing lawyer who is, how lucky can I be that I sound like that one lawyer that is totally against vaccines and GMOs? Like, that just doesn't happen. So we have to just say that it's fate. But back on this lawsuit, I want to touch a little bit of this good faith portion because I wondered, T. Matt, if you could give a little bit into that Seek case, because I think it would help people to understand what Facebook might turn around and argue.
This is interesting.
Depending on what we can say, that's kind of why I'm throwing you the ball a lot here. I apologize, but you know more about what we can and can't say. I think that that was some good information, and people should know what Facebook's trying to argue.
Well, yeah, I think the Seek case is important, and I do want to talk about the law because, again, I think it's so significant. I did want to say we're talking just one final thought. I have the cork board behind the desk here, and I have like a sticky note with a quote by George Orwell on it. I don't often here's the quote. It says, "If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear." And I think that's kind of a profound quote. You should be able to say things, especially if they don't want to hear it. That, it seems to me, it should make the right all the more protected. But there was an interesting case where the it was in Facebook, and there was a page called Seeks for Justice, and that was abbreviated SFJ. And the SFJ, the Seeks for Justice, had this page, and they were politically active, and I think they wanted like an independent state somewhere in India. Can't remember what province or region it was, but they wanted basically political independence. And their chief opponent, of course, was the Indian government. And somehow the Indian government was able to prevail upon Facebook and convince them to depublish the Seeks for Justice page. And kind of a remarkable case. In many ways, it's similar to the facts of our case because we allege the same thing, that Facebook has restricted our access to the service. They've restricted our access. But the law says when one of these ISP providers, when they restrict access, they have to demonstrate good faith. And again, there's not really enough cases to know what that really means under the circumstances, and the law doesn't explain it. So what does good faith mean? I think when Congress passed the law, they intended that the two lawyers would just kind of duke it out and try to make the better argument for who's got the good faith or who's acting in bad faith. But I think clearly that Facebook acted in bad faith when they took down the Seeks page, because after all, what does this say if the Indian government can go to Facebook and say, hey, we want you to take down the political opponent, okay? And it seems like that's exactly what happened. And when we say take down the page, that's really not accurate. It was really better to characterize it as restricting access, because that's really what happened. The Sikhs page was restricted only in India. Like if you were a Sikh for Justice in Canada, I guess you could see it on your Facebook page or in America, but they only suspended it in India, and I guess only during the course of the elections, because they didn't want them to hear their message. Well, that seems lousy that Facebook should be able to be involved in that, because, you know, generally speaking, you can't sue these Internet service providers. I should go into the history a little bit. You can sue a newspaper, New York Times, LA Times, because they're publishers, and they don't enjoy immunity from lawsuits. But the Internet cartel has immunity from litigation, much like the vaccine people have immunity from litigation. The only kind of wing and a prayer you have of suing one of these Internet cartel members, the, you know, Facebook, Google, YouTube, and Twitter, is if you can demonstrate bad faith. And again, there's just not been enough cases to know what bad faith really means. But we suggest in our lawsuit, it's alleged that in order to claim good faith as a threshold matter, the defendant has to communicate. These guys don't communicate. I mean, I'm talking to their lawyers and I still can't get them to communicate. They just won't say anything. But the point is, going back to the difference between the New York Times and Facebook, how come it is that one has immunity and the other one don't? Well, the reason is kind of simple. It has nothing to do, by the way, with one's on the internet or one is a paper. What they've decided is that Facebook is not a publisher, that rather they are a platform for other publishers. And the role of these internet service providers is supposed to be a passive conduit, is the language a lot of these cases talk about. And so the language is highly suggestive. If they get immunity because they're a passive conduit, then they should be acting like a passive conduit. But when they start exercising these publishing roles and start, you know, taking down the Sikhs for Justice page because it's politically incorrect in India, well, now Facebook is acting as a content creator. They're no longer a neutral host. They're no longer this, a platform at arm's length. They're actively involved in the game. They're doing the publishing themselves. And I'm sure that I know right now that there are people from YouTube and Facebook and Google and Twitter who are listening to my voice and must be just, beside themselves that someone has the audacity to tell the world this. But it's really going on. These people are acting as publishers, and they should be sued as publishers. And one of the things we will be arguing in court is these people are not being the role of the, passive conduit. And the rationale in Congress of why they got to enjoy immunity is because they don't get involved. Look at the New York Times. If I wrote a letter to the New York Times that said, Magic Johnson is a convicted child molester and a child rapist, and then the guy at the LA Times gets the letter and he's got to decide to print it up for the editorial, well, they would check those facts to see if, Magic Johnson is really, in fact, a convicted child molester. They have a duty to do that. If they get it wrong, they could be sued. Well, it doesn't matter on Facebook. Apparently, people can defame you on Facebook. I've had it done to me. People call me child molester every other day on Facebook. But I can't sue Facebook for that because Facebook is supposed to be a neutral host. But my opinion is that Facebook acts in concert with these people, and Facebook is only too happy to have others defame me because then people might not want to put money on the GoFundMe. And after all, Zuckerberg has got $88 billion, the stay-at-home mommy trying to raise some money for this, and Facebook figures, let's take them off Facebook, let's allow other people to call him a child molester, and he's a terrible lawyer, and he can't win a case. I mean, I hear this nonsense all the time.
And it's really like the lengths that some of these people will go to just to say bad things about you. It's like when you ask them to even drill down into it, they can't. Then they can't provide any proof. It's all trying to just little tactics to manipulate the comment sections to get people to block you so that they don't hear from you and ever get woke up. That's the reality.
Some people who don't know me, if you Google my name, you will be convinced within about 30 seconds that I am Frankenstein, Dracula, and the Wolfman all rolled up into one, And they want you to believe that. I'm notorious, B.I.G. notorious. Everybody thinks that I'm going to come kill them and rape them and beat them up and shoot them. And people say this stuff all day long on the internet, and I see it. They tell other people, block this guy, T. Matthew Phillips. If you don't block him, I'm going to block you because he's terrible and he hangs out with sex offenders and he's a sex offender himself. I mean, these people can't say it enough. And we know the reason because I think I have something worthwhile to say and they want to shut down that message. And that's really what's going on. And I can't tell you how many people, if I had a dime for people who would contact me and say, you're really a bright, witty, and perceptive sort of fella. The whole world had me believing you were the Satan himself. But anyways, there you are. It's a value. That's why the internet is.
The whole point, though, I think at the end of the day, what you were really saying is that these people are saying this on Facebook, and Facebook isn't doing anything about them. You've reported these people, and it's such a a situation where Facebook is not being consistent with what they're saying they're doing. You know, there's sometimes they might ask somebody for a driver's license. Sometimes they might ask somebody for a picture. Sometimes they might just tell you, this was a good one. This was a recent one, okay? They told somebody that they were unable to like any post. What is that?
That happened to me, actually.
Right.
Can I explain this one?
I got it.
I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. But I got this thing that says you are suspended from liking. Like I wasn't able to like. It literally said you cannot like for 48 hours because I used the feature in a way it wasn't meant to be used. And I'm thinking, okay, how many ways are there to use a like button? First of all, either click on it or you don't. There's only one way to use it. Secondarily, I can understand. I've been banned so many times because, you know, I use the F word sometimes. I use the C word. I've even used the E word on Facebook. And so, I get taken down all the time. But trying to be funny here. But I would throw this out to Christy. What are some of the – we made a list somewhere, the frequently made comments – from some of the things we're hearing from the people and a lot of the controlled op people that are trying to run interference on our lawsuit. Do you remember those?
The First Amendment applies to the government, right? That's one of them.
Yes, we hear that a lot of people will object. Just to explain this one for the listeners, they say, wait a second, the First Amendment begins, Congress shall make no law. And they say the First Amendment serves merely to restrain the federal government and does not affirmatively empower the individual. Well, our lawsuit, so everybody knows, we're not relying on the First Amendment, okay? We are relying on the California Constitution, which does affirmatively empower all people to freely speak, write, and publish their sentiments on all subjects. So there you go. What are some more of them? I can't think of them now.
Facebook. Oh, this is the one that we hear, I think, probably the most is that, well, Facebook's like a private company.
Okay, you do this one, Christy.
No, you do this one.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Facebook, I mean, yes, they are private, okay? Yes, it's funny. We were laughing about this the other day. Yes, the owners are private, and the profits, those are definitely private, okay? But nevertheless, the website is a place of public accommodations. They have to open their doors to everybody equally. You know, Facebook says they can do whatever they want. I'd love to say, yeah, what about a whites-only country club? What if we decided, you know, people that were not totally white, you know, like a straight-up racist thing where they don't allow black people? I mean, I don't mean to suggest racism. I know it's always an awkward topic, but under their theory, they could do this, have like a whites-only country club and make Facebook that way, or Catholics only, or they could exclude Muslims, or whatever they wanted to do. It doesn't have to be race or religion. But according to them, they could do what would otherwise be blatantly unconstitutional. I mean, are they a private company? Do they ever? Has Facebook ever been sued for wrongful termination of an employee? Have they ever been sued for sexual harassment or a woman? I mean, there's a thousand things in the workplace that Facebook could be sued for. Are you meaning to tell me that Facebook, oh, sorry, we're private, you can't sue us? I mean, for all the people out there who think that Facebook is a private company, you're right. If you think Facebook is a private company, which means they're not beholden to the Constitution, then you're dead wrong.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that people will always ask us, too, is the terms and conditions. They think that because you use Facebook, okay, that you use Facebook, you agree to their terms and conditions just by default. Like, I know Facebook sent a message. I think it was their recent update to that. I don't remember when it was. But it said that if you continued to use Facebook, that is you agreeing. If you read the terms and conditions, it doesn't tell anything that you're waiving your constitutional rights. And I don't believe that that's, like, a valid thing that they can strip away. Like, that terms and conditions to me has no value, no merit, because it doesn't say, don't you have to have, like, what is that term? You have to have, like, a knowing waiver. What was
yes, you are correct. Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, our position, our legal position is that people don't consent to Facebook terms. Nobody specifically agrees to these terms and conditions. The Facebook lawyers are not entirely clear, but I think what they are going to argue is that merely by using the service, you tacitly agree to the terms and conditions. But I think California law is clear that there has to be some kind of express consent where there's an actual meetings of the minds. But I don't think that's going on here. And another one, too, is, you know, this idea that you're giving up your privacy or you're waiving your rights to free speech. The right to privacy is a fundamental constitutional right. The right to free speech is a fundamental constitutional right. And you can't be said to give that up like willy-nilly. In order to have a waiver of a constitutional right be recognized by a court of law, that waiver must be said to be knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently made. In fact, now that you bring it up, the best example is a Miranda warning. If the law enforcement wants to solicit from a would-be suspect, you know, where is the bomb located or where did you tie up the victim, they want them to answer a question. They cannot answer that question because the suspect or would-be suspect has a fundamental right to not self-incriminate themselves under the Fifth Amendment. And to get them to give up that constitutional right, the person has to get the Miranda warning and they have to knowingly and voluntarily give up their right and agree to speak to 5-0 and tell them whatever the cops are asking. And that's the point, is that these constitutional rights are not easily given up. I'll tell you another one. I see this all the time, or used to see it all the time, was in landlord-tenant contracts. The landlord-tenant contract would say, landlord can stop by anytime landlord wants to check on the premises to ensure the wholesome condition of the premises,
okay,
or some such
creepy
language.
That is flat out
well,
creepy.
You know what happens? When there's a female tenant, the landlord comes in when she's in the shower. You know, they always come in when she's in the shower, and then the landlord says, well, it's right here. If that ever came to a court of law, the court would strike that down. Even though the tenant signed the contract, it's really her signature, even though she agreed to it, the law will strike that down as void because the landlord does not have carte blanche right to privacy to enter the tenants. I'm kind of passionate about tenants' rights too, but the point is that that the right to privacy cannot be willy-nilly given up in a landlord-tenant agreement. I suppose you could do it if the agreement spelled out exactly what the right was that they, you know, the tenant was giving up. But that's a good point. You know. Anyway, I'm sorry. Did you want to continue, Christy? Or?
I was going to talk about like the Facebook robot that we talk about in our lawsuit, because we do bring that up. And how, well, and it's all of this kind of gives us more headway, I think, in the good argument, because it's showing a lack of faith. Because I think about how many people use Facebook. There's no way that Menlo Park, like in their building, that they have that many people, staff, to deal with all this, you know, whatever. But these robots, we prove that the way that they're being used right now, there's no way that they can, like, take a comment or a meme and dictate whether that is, like, free speech or, like, what vulgar, obscene, lewd, whatever it was, so that they could take it down. They can't – I don't think that a bot can do that. I really don't.
Wow.
And
you know,
what else?
Well, if I could add, too, you know, it's not only the – I think the fact that they use robots – in lieu of humans, that to me demonstrates a shortcoming of good faith. But I'll tell you another one. It seems to me that, well, we know that Facebook's, this is all a complaint-based system. It's based on complaints received from other users. And it seems to me that Facebook really doesn't, you know, care so much about us. And they probably just have their algorithms set so if a given post gets 25 complaints, they take it down. Because look at the way Facebook views us. We're just ball bearings in the ball bearing factory. Facebook wants to sell ball bearings to end users, and then one day the ball bearings get uppity and start talking about their civil rights and demanding free speech. And Facebook is like, what? We don't have time for you. If we get 25 complaints, we take you down. I mean, my earnest belief is that Facebook only operates on the number of complaints received. And if this is true, then it shows bad faith because Facebook reduces free speech to a popularity contest.
I'm gonna do you one further right there, T. Matthews, because while we're on this topic, I think it's really important to kind of highlight this type of stuff. We're talking basically about the future of social media. You know, what happens with this whole mob rule versus logic and, you know, law and order and things like this. Now, I'm sure you guys will remember last month. I remember doing like a report on it. Social media, a report came out that Facebook was adopting China's basically Sesame credit score system, their social credit score system, and everything you're talking about right there, you know, to where if a user receives X amount of complaints, you know, they will eventually reach a threshold to where they're either considered a threat or their page needs to be put into a Facebook jail, as Christie's is, or if they remove it. And so what's happening right now is while they're trying to develop this privately, it's good that we're exposing this this injustice, this inconsistency, and like Christie said as well, how they're not being proactive about these types of things. It's good that we're exposing this now, because as they try to roll these things out in the future, they want to have overall rule over, you know, what would actually count as a mark against somebody else's account. And because we are, as you guys are saying, you know, they're using robots, they're using these algorithms, they're using this AI, they're deploying it on us. What we're doing is literally combating these types of things and explaining how, look, while you might use robots and AI to deal with us, there needs to be some kind of regulatory factor in between, because whatever algorithms you guys have going on, it's biased. Basically, it suppresses human speech. So there's so many different things that you guys are going on about that it's perfect. It's perfect because it needs to happen. This is a natural course of events. You can't stifle free speech. You can't stifle somebody's ability to share information and discuss and not expect some kind of blowback. And that's exactly what this is.
Well, you know, it's here's like a little mind bender right here for you, because I think one of what we kind of think is going on is that there's like some little investor fraud kind of stuff happening. We think Facebook is like overly anxious to delete people's posts and to ban them, because what happens then, like for me, I think I'm too much of a target. They don't want me to even talk right now on Facebook. But before, you know, if you make another account, it like falsely inflates the growth rate of, you know, how Facebook's growing. I mean, eventually they're going to hit like as much as they can get. Like, what's going to happen then? Nobody's going to want to invest. What if this is all like just an investor scam and they want people to be censored? They want people to make more profiles because it makes it look like they're bigger than what they are. I don't know.
We've been calling this Facebook Gate. We're the first ones to bust what we've been calling Facebook Gate, you know, and
go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say Christy and I were wrestling for a while, again without waiving any attorney-client privileges, but her and I are wrestling with this topic of, you know, why would Facebook kind of shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak? I mean, don't they want us on Facebook posting our lunch and talking about golf clubs or whatever we're into, so they know corporations can market to us more effectively? Well, there's no reason really to shut us down unless they're going to make money, because corporations want to get that dollar bill. So there's got to be some reason. I thought, well, wait a second. They know the phenomenon of the second account. If you're in Facebook jail, everyone's got a second account. I mean, everybody does. But Facebook probably used that to artificially inflate the growth rates, because there is, right now as we speak, there is an investor class action lawsuit. It's in New York, and they are alleging that Facebook, fudged the numbers on terms of growth rate. That is their specific allegation, that Facebook misled investors about how fast they were growing. And Facebook, back in July, suffered the biggest stock tumble in the history of stock tumbles. $120 billion vanished. Wall Street had never seen a loss by one company in one day that big. I mean, what's his name? Zuckerberg lost. He lost value of three Donald Trumps. Zuckerberg personally lost $18 billion out of pocket on July 26, 2018. That's three Donald Trumps, because Trump is only worth $3 billion, right? But, I mean, the numbers are insane at some point here. But it seems to me that what Facebook did is they said, look, we have, you know, we have a billion accounts, where in truth they only have like 500 million because everyone's got a second account. And if that's true, okay, not only does it prove that they screwed the investors, but more than that, in our case, it definitely shows bad faith because they're trying to suppress free speech just to make a buck.
And that's what I mean by the corporatocracy.
Yep. I mean, everything really comes down to this money. I mean, and that's a lot of why the government and, you know, all these, what did we call them? What did you say they were? The internet cartel?
The internet cartel, yeah.
That's why the government and the internet cartel hang out. That's why they're together. It's all about the money, and they're ruling it, and they don't want anybody, knocking them down. I mean, what is this lawsuit going to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just on that topic, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, because I know we're so close to the top of the hour, and I wanted to ask Christy about this one too. But one of the things that we contend, you know, is that, you know, the problem is that corporate America understands the phenomenon of complaining, and corporate America hires armies of trolls, literally. We know because we see them all the time. And these troll armies, their only job is to complain and complain and complain. And the principal aim of this lawsuit is to try to stop that, to make it a level playing field at a minimum, because it seems like whatever we post, there's going to be at least 500 people. I could post the sun is shining and it's blue sky, or, you know, something that's totally innocuous and happy, and 500 people will complain about it, you know, just because it's me. And same thing with Christy. So.
Well, now I have a quick question for you guys, you know, because we're talking about these fake accounts. And you know, them inflating profits, them inflating stocks, and things like this. I've posted and talked about how some of the actions that Facebook has taken to try to counteract what they consider fake news and misinformation is they're going to hire on, I call them the troll army. You know, I call them the troll army because it's literally just people that they hire on to, as they say, squash misinformation. Now, what if some of these accounts that are being made, what if these are actual Facebook employees who are being paid kind of not under the table, but who have double roles to go out there and to push people like Christy Scarborough and her page to that threshold point to where she does get deleted, to where she does get attacked? Now, I think that's something that people really need to think about. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Absolutely. They want me to give up. And they want TMP to, like, give up. They want both of us to just run away and be quiet, you know. I swear, social media, you have to agree that it really did kind of turn on them a little bit, because everybody seems to be using it to spread truth, at least nowadays to me. That's what it seems like. Everybody is really ready to talk about what's really going down. And we're really using it against them. So the only other opportunity they have is to shut us down. They want to intimidate us, and they want us to just crawl under rocks and be quiet.
And I have to say, if I have just a moment, I wanted to mention my good friend Bart Sobrell, who is like the godfather of conspiracy theorists. He's the guy who first turned out the moon landing and explained in unequivocal terms of it's a hoax, I mean, and why it's a hoax. But let me tell you what's going on with Bart. I mean, you may have heard of him. He's the guy that engaged in the fisticuffs with the astronaut Buzz Aldrin, if you remember that a while back.
Nice.
But,
yeah, awesome.
Well, what happened is he wanted Buzz Aldrin to swear on the Bible that he'd been to the moon, and Buzz Aldrin punched him instead, and the authorities didn't, you know, arrest the astronaut for assault, but was on his side because he's a good old boy or an astronaut. It's silly, but this is what's happening to Bart. Bart has a channel on YouTube where he talks about the moon landing principally and JFK. He's also a JFK researcher. He's a fascinating guy. He's a brilliant man. I can't say enough about him. But he also, for many years, was supporting himself on YouTube because people love his stuff, and he gets advertisers from, I don't know, the car dealers and the grocery stores, and he gets ad revenue from everywhere. But what's happened to him recently is YouTube has demonetized him, meaning they don't allow him to have advertisers anymore, so he can't get money. And the reason they gave him was because one time, I think he put up a duplicate video, and I guess there's a rule against a duplicate video. You violated the terms, and now we're not going to let you monetize your account anymore. And then Bart makes a very good point. He says, you know something, these corporations are not behaving like corporations. They're not trying to get the dollar bill, because when they demonetize Bart, they're also demonetizing themselves, because they would get some of that ad revenue too when people would advertise on his YouTube videos. But now YouTube must be taking the position, we don't care about money. It's more important to advance Agenda 21 and the standard doctrine and the Common Core principles. And so they're happy to shut Bart Sobrell down. And what else YouTube is doing, this becomes insane. Again, showing that these ISP providers are not really passive conduits. Listen what YouTube is doing now. On every moon landing hoax video, you know, Apollo 11 was a hoax, immediately beneath the video, there's a link to Encyclopedia Britannica that says, oh, no, it really did happen on July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, Tranquility Base, Apollo 11, it really happened. Like, what? Like, you can't put a video up without YouTube wanting to state the authoritative position. And that's their word, by the way. They call it the authoritative position, like the authority. Like, what happened it's insane. And, you know, I'll go you one better. If you do it, this is where it becomes insane. This is going to blow your mind. If you do it like on GMOs, like they have the same thing, that GMOs are totally safe. If you Google CIA killed Kennedy, there must be hundreds of videos that talk about the CIA shot Kennedy. Well, on those videos, there's also Encyclopedia Britannica. Back on November 22nd, 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald, acting alone with a Mannlicher Carcano rifle, shot JFK from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository. It really happened. It's like, why does Encyclopedia Britannica feel a need to chime in? I did another YouTube video I looked at. This was about the 9/11 hoax, okay? It was the RT channel, I think it's called, RT something. And then
RT America.
Yeah, and when YouTube put their video up, they had a link to it that said, RT is funded in part by the Russian government. It's like, oh, thanks, YouTube, for telling me that they're funded by them Russians. Because now I don't like them, or I like them more. I don't know which is the situation is. But the point is, this YouTube is not a passive conduit. They're a player in the game, because they're purposely demonetizing themselves and shooting themselves in the foot money-wise at the same time. They feel a need to correct the politically incorrect videos with the authoritative versions. You want to hear the one that blows my mind? Get ready for this one. I went and saw another video on YouTube that said Flat Earth Theory Explained. They tell you that the Earth is really flat, okay? Under that video, there's no Encyclopedia Britannica link. Why? Because they want you to believe that lie. That's a lie they want, the sucker punch they want you to believe. And I can't tell you how many people, by the way, Flat Earth is a psyop. The people that are into it is these crunchy organic moms who are suddenly against vaccines because Jenny McCarthy said so type of thing, and so they kind of go along with it, you know, but it's ridiculous. Am I rambling too much?
It's a way to make people not look so bright, like they don't know the full game.
Absolutely. Like Sharon Brown would be a perfect example. You know, this person who, you know, they claim they're against vaccines. All right, fine. But at the same time, they're talking about the Earth is flat. The Earth is flat. NASA is lying to us. NASA has been lying since the Bible days in 2000. Isn't NASA a recent invention, Sharon? Hey, Sharon, NASA has not been lying since the Bible days, okay? But these people really believe it. And what happens is, now look how easy they are to discredit in the mainstream. Oh, look at those anti-vaxxer, those crunchy moms with their yoga pants. Those dinglings believe the Earth is flat, okay? It makes them easier to to discredit them. And I see it all over the Facebook vaccine pages, these people talking about the Earth is flat. I mean, it's dumbfounding, because I understand we first hear that the government lies about Kennedy and it's upsetting to know they killed our president. We hear they lied about 9/11 and killed 3,000 people. It's upsetting, but you get on these bandwagon of lies, you hear about Apollo 11, and then everything has got to be a lie. Everything, you know, it's too extreme, you know, if you think about it. But anyways, this is what some of the flat earth people say. The flat earth thing is a psyop. Don't buy into it.
Well,
your lawyer's woke.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, who really knows? Like, I question, like, the flat earth thing, but I think his name, how do you say it, Eratosthenes? Did I say that
right?
Yes. You know, the research from him, I'm pretty much now, I know that we're round, we're a planet, so we're good. But I do think there's too many. The only label I want is vaccine abolitionist. When that's a label that's like severely hidden. And another reason why I think Facebook targets me. I think this is all around the whole vaccine thing to start with, and being a voice for that. And now I feel like more and more people are understanding that there's something seriously wrong with these vaccines. Now they're trying to like stop me, like stop talking, stop letting people know what's going on. And Facebook, like YouTube, you know what that tells me? YouTube's not acting in good faith because they're not staying neutral. But it also tells me that they're also getting paid to push an agenda out there. Same thing with Facebook.
Yes.
I believe they're getting paid to push this agenda. And even if they don't get paid, it's still they're trying to push this agenda. And either way, I don't, that's going to have to stop. I'm going to make sure of it.
Yep.
I had on, real quick, I'll say this and I'll pass it to you. I had on the editor-in-chief, Kerry Wedler, of the anti-media, right? And we talked about towards the end of our episode, you know, how the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, who does have ties to the CIA. So in theory, you could effectively say that Amazon and the CIA and the Washington Post are all working, you know, all working together. I'm not saying that, but I'm kind of saying that the information and the research kind of leads in that direction. And kind of what we're starting to talk about this day and age is just that, the concept of obey Big Brother. This is 1984 on steroids, when they're talking about authoritative news content, when they're talking about this is how you need to think, this is what's real, this is what's not real. Like, look, man, I don't appreciate racists. I don't understand racism. I don't get it. But they have the right to say whatever they want to say. But the minute that we start deplatforming and depersoning and taking people off just because of how they believe, you know, that enters a whole new spectrum of life. You know, and that, again, I have to pose the question, are we going to start using mob rule to where everything's based in feelings, or to where we're actually going to use logic, reason, and follow these things through? And so what's happening right now, I think, across the board is because we are seeing this kind of shift take place, is we're seeing how much power do corporations like Facebook have? How much power do we have? How much power do those in power actually have? And so at the end of the day, you know, it kind of does depend on the individual to continue to do these types of things. I'll say this, and I'll pass it to you, T. Matthews. You know, what you're doing, Christy, is you're not abiding by the system, by the order, by the way they have things set up. You know, you have to go through the proper channels, through the proper conditioning, through the proper indoctrination in order for you to be inducted into the society of influence. And that's not what happened. What happened is you decided to take another route and create and forge your own path with this purpose-driven work that you're doing, trying to just raise awareness about these number of things that are going on. And because it's not in alignment with, like T. Matthew said, Agenda 21 and everything else that Facebook is pushing, that's where we're having discussion. That's why we're having these problems, is because at the end of the day, we have to see where the money's going. Follow the money trail. Who's paying for all this censorship? Who's paying for all this craziness? Why did Mark Zuckerberg go hang out with President Xi Jinping back in 2016 during the elections? So all of the stuff that we're seeing unfold now, this is not this didn't just happen. Some of this was pre-planned, And you have to kind of, again, follow the money trail, follow the history trail, see what's going on and why we have to take proactive stance, because they don't, at the same time, they don't have a system in play, and we have to force their hand to create that system. So please continue.
Well, I mean, if I would, I would add, you know, where I come from, Los Angeles, California, people, I remember hearing oftentimes when free speech came up, if you don't like what someone's saying, change the channel. I've heard that before, that sentiment. If you don't like it, change the channel. The point is that if I have a Facebook page or Christy has a Facebook page and Christy is saying whatever she says about vaccines, if people don't like it, change the channel. Go to another Facebook page. Like, really, why are you complaining in the first place? Why does someone feel such a need to say, you know something, I don't agree with you. In fact, I don't agree with you so much, I got to squash it. There was a time where I remember people saying, this must be a quote somewhere, you know, I don't agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. This kind of honorable notion that, yeah, you may be full of beans, but go ahead and let's hear what you got to say. Run it up the flagpole and let me just disagree with you. But that gentlemanly or gentlemanly woman sort of, you know, that doesn't exist anymore. It's got to be like my viewpoint
Nope.
is the only viewpoint and yours must be eliminated. And that's what I see so disconcerting, because I wanted to mention briefly the Pruneyard case, famous case. It was out in California. There was a guy at a shopping center, and imagine like a grocery store with a nail salon and, you know, maybe a dry cleaners, but your typical little, you know, strip mall shopping center. Well, this guy is out there with a clipboard, a petition, and a cause. He wants to, I don't know, save the whales or who knows what he wants to do, but it's some politically active thing. And every patron of the supermarket has to walk by this guy on the way into the supermarket because he wants to get them to sign his petition. So eventually, this case was like 1980, I think it was, and the owner of the shopping center said, get this guy out of here. He's bad for business. He was, I don't know, with his, you know, orange shirt and his tambourine and selling what religion, I don't know what he was selling, some cause with on the petition. Well, anyway, he got trespassed and he brought a lawsuit. And eventually he won in the United States Supreme Court, which held that we have free speech rights even on private property. And that's significant because the analogy is kind of clear that Facebook is, well, private property. The profits are certainly all private. But if you can have free speech in a shopping center for the purposes of gathering petition signatures, then for goodness sake, you should have the similar type of free speech on Facebook, whether it's gathering petitions or talking about, you know, your case or trying to raise money to sue Facebook. But they want to completely
right. –
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, can I cut you off?
Please, please.
You know what, though? Back that kind of goes back to our corporatized troll talk, was that the reason why most people probably wouldn't report, or – maybe with the snowflakes these days, they might, I don't know. But the people who are really reporting are these corporatized trolls. And so your thought process is, you know, it's so easy, like with that Pruneyard case, well, it's easy to just block somebody and sort of just not go to their page, not see them, versus that those people actually had to walk by him every day that they went to the store, right?
Right.
Then this, it's not like people can avoid you on social media if they want to, but they don't want to have to avoid you. They want to win the debate or sanitize the debate. They want to shut you down. It's all a part of, quote-unquote, the game.
Yeah, and it's funny because just to pick up, when both Christy and I have noticed this, we both have, you know, pages that we run and stuff, and you know, we'll put up a post and maybe there's like only 4 likes on it, which kind of suggests it may be unpopular. But the amount of time that post may have been viewed is like 1,700 times. I see this all the time at my page, and I know that Christy does too, where maybe 4 people will like it, but 1,700 people visited it. Well, wait a second. How many? You mean 1,700 people clicked on this meme, but only 4 of them liked it? Well, what does that tell you? That is the opposition there checking out your stuff. And they didn't like it because 1,600 of them complained. And And I don't know what the magic number is, but I'm sure Facebook has rigged it, you know, with their algorithm. So if it's like, say it's a racist comment, I don't know, like the N-word or what have you, it's probably a lower threshold in terms of numbers. If it's like a mere garden variety bullying situation, it may take a higher number count. But the number count, it's probably a definitive number count, but they factor things into it, like not just the number, but the type of content or the allegation, like the race.
That's what it is.
I would think the race and religion ones, they really have to have a higher number, where the mere bullying ones are probably lower. Who knows? But you know what they don't have on Facebook is they don't have a button to click on when they put your home address online. Like they don't have that one, you know.
Or
if you're if
that are against their terms and conditions, which is like a photo. If you take someone's photo without their permission, now even though it's legal to like republish or whatever what's already been published, Facebook has that in their terms and conditions, right? There's nothing for that either.
Yeah, it's
photo.
It really is. It's so heavily slanted, and we must stop these troll armies. And I think Christy's point is so well taken that if someone doesn't like our page, just change the channel, go somewhere else. You know, the concerns of the shopping center owner, that guy had some real concerns because every customer had to see this ding-a-ling with his political cause. And, you know, I'm trying to make fun of him, but we don't know how aggressive he was or wasn't aggressive, but people, they want to be left alone, you know, when they're shopping. So I get it. I'm actually sympathetic to the owner of the shopping center, even though I recognize the guy does have a right to free speech. But when you compare and contrast that with the Facebook situation, anybody can sign on to Facebook and enter their premises, enter their online premises, without ever having to endure Christy Scarborough. But they come there with a purpose, and they come there to complain because they know enough complaints will take them down. So that's the game, and that's silly at some point.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, I do want to bring up, though, what state our lawsuit is in right now. I mean, it's not state, you know, what the status of our lawsuit is right now.
Let's hear it.
We did make the first amended complaint, so it did reset the clock, correct?
Yes. Oh, I can explain that. We had an original complaint on file, and then I met with the Facebook lawyers on a couple occasions, and we decide, well, the purpose of the meeting is to try to convince the plaintiff, which is we, to dismiss the lawsuit. They require the lawyers to try to save time and money and try to hash out some of the issues. Well, what these meetings, it dawned on us that we really needed to amend our complaint to really stress the good faith requirements of the law. I wanted to revisit that Sikh case for a moment, because I talked about the facts briefly. Again, in that case, the Sikh government wanted to shut down the Sikhs, and so I guess Facebook went along with it. And but if you were to analyze that and ask me how that case would, you know, it seems to me Facebook would have the right to remove the page or restrict access, provided they're acting in good faith. That is the law. Now, I don't know factually if the attorneys could prove good faith one way or the other, but here's what's so frightening. In the case, the ruling, the judge never, ever mentions the good faith requirement. It's kind of mind-boggling. The ruling that the judge had issued in the case of Sikhs for Justice versus Facebook, the judge never mentions the good faith requirement. I'm going, wait a second, why is the judge not mentioning the governing law? Well, I was able to obtain a copy of the complaint that was authored by the Sikhs for Justice. And what's really kind of weird about the complaint is their complaint never mentions the good faith requirement. And we should go down the rabbit hole here. If you guys want to join me going down the rabbit hole a little bit?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, it kind of begs the question, why did the lawyer who filed the lawsuit, why were they not arguing this good faith requirement? It's nowhere in the complaint. When they filed their lawsuit, there's nothing about the good faith requirement. And in the judge's final ruling, there's nothing about the good faith requirement. Needless to say, the Facebook lawyers can't be counted on to bring up the good faith requirement. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen their documents, but I suggest that they probably would never bring it up, because when I talk to the Facebook lawyers, they similarly pretend it doesn't exist. When I'm talking to the Facebook lawyers, I'm saying, well, let's talk about this case. Let's discuss the law. Yes, an ISC provider can, or ISP rather, they can remove certain objectionable content without debating what is objectionable or not. If they are acting in good faith, they can remove it, even if they remove something that's constitutionally protected. Like, they can get it wrong, but the issue is when they act and when they do the censorship, were they acting in good faith at the time? And that's the law. But going back to the Seek case, it never comes up. And it's the most bizarre thing in the history of bizarre. And then I started to think to myself, could it be that this is a controlled opposition lawsuit? After all, we know there are plenty of controlled opposition lawsuits in the whole vaccine thing, because I saw it happen. I never thought it was possible. I was naive. I've been a lawyer for 25 years, but even 10 years ago I was naive. I wasn't woke yet. But now I know that there are controlled opposition lawsuits, and I wonder if this whole Seek for Justice thing was just a setup. I mean, I don't know. I'm not alleging it, but if they want to sue me for defamation, it wouldn't go very far, because I'm allowed to commentate on legal decisions. And at the end of the day, I'm making a truthful statement when I say that they don't mention 230 in the case, Section C2, which is the good faith requirement. And why is it that this lawsuit got argued and got ruled upon and appealed, and nobody mentioned the governing law? Were they trying to create a precedent that existed without it? I mean, I've seen so much stuff going on that I wouldn't, put that past anybody. It's kind of a frightening thought, but who knows at the end of the day? But we're going to have to, in court, we're going to be up against that case law precedent. Because if you didn't know any better and someone asked you, what is that Seek case stand for? What legal proposition is the result of that case? Well, it stands for the proposition that Facebook can remove your page and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's only because that case was decided without anybody arguing the good faith requirement and the judge not knowing about it. You really can't blame the judge, because the judge only argues what is there before them. And let me take one further step here if I could. People say, well, wait a second, maybe they thought, C1 applied. These are the paragraphs, C1 and C2. My point is, anybody who's looking up any element of this area of law is going to see the good faith requirement right in their face. It's part of the landscape, and it's unbelievable to me. I know I'm kind of beating a dead horse, rambling on, but I am still kind of in shock, and it's been over a week now since I've realized that this case is completely silent about the predicate controlling authorities, or legal authorities, rather. It's mind-boggling.
And that's how it works. I mean, they send out very vague statements. They send out very vague requirements. There's no clarification. There's no real interaction. There's no real discussion about, what actually needs to be developed. And I think that's, the whole point of why we're here, to find that out. What is it that we're actually supposed to be abiding by? Or is it that these companies or these private businesses that should be conforming to us? These are all great questions that I think these types of lawsuits, these types of developments, and things such as your own, this is really going to do more good than I think a lot of people think. And this is exposing a lot more than people really understand. And that's why, despite what we're seeing on mainstream media, despite what we're seeing on the TV, even on social media, we have to understand the discernment, clarification, logic, reason. These are all the things that prevail, and we can't get caught up in our emotions. They would like to have it. They would like to have you think that there's no way for us to actually fight back. But, here we've spent an entire show trying to do just that, trying to figure out different ways and doing so. So with the time that we have left, Christy, could you tell the good people where they can find more of your work and how they can support this lawsuit getting through?
Yes, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having us on. It's been great. And anybody that wants to share our GoFundMe to help with any of the lawyer fees, you can go to www.gofundme.com, help to Facebook. And that is me. You can also find me on Instagram on Corrupt Vaccine, or Facebook, Corrupt Vaccine. And if anybody wants to email me, it's corruptvaccines@gmail.com. Anybody has any questions about our case or
anything that I do, please feel free to shoot me an email.
And I would say, you know, Christy's page on Facebook is Corrupt Vaccines. My page is called Truth Hits Everybody. And I'd say message me on Facebook, but I can't talk to anybody because I'm in Facebook jail. So anybody would like to contact me, T. Matthew Phillips, all one word, at AOL.com. And thank you so much for having us. I really enjoyed today. It was really a blast. And again, thank you very much.
The pleasure was all mine, really. Thank you for coming on.
Bye, guys.
I wish there was more that we could do. Like I said, I'll make sure to put those links in the description bar below because, again, it's important that we kind of get this stuff out there. Definitely donate to her fund. We did. You know, it's important, again, that this kind of that this goes through. We really need to understand the types of times that we're in and the kind of people, you know, that are at our side. So, really, thank you guys for coming on. The pleasure was mine. And really, everybody.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
T. Matthews, we'll definitely have to have you back on to talk about your lawsuits against Monsanto as well as your efforts against mandatory vaccines. That's really important stuff. I'll try to get your information. And this is what it's about. This is really what it's about, being able to come together and have an epic network of people who really get who get what's going on, really. So, yeah, like I said, I'll put the links in the description bar below. Make sure you donate to Chrissy's GoFundMe. If you guys have any questions, like I said, I'll put her information with her Facebook, her Instagram, and her email in the description bar below. Realize that these people are trying to attack us. They really want to squash dissent. They don't want us to come together over actual solutions. And whenever we have shows like this, that's exactly what we're doing. But like I said, if you guys have any questions for myself, feel free to email me. I'll put that in the description bar below. T. Matthews, I'd like to say thank you for coming on, my friend. Christy, God bless you. And remember, guys and gals, if you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And remember, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, Christy Scarborough, of Corrupt Vaccines, and T. Matthews, of Truth Hits Everybody. Out.